often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 618. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty, is laying on the couch right behind me. His one front leg sticking out, ready to claw anything that moves. I'm recording at an odd time. It's late. Late in the night, I guess, for me. It's after 6 p.m. I'm an old man, so that's late in the night for me. Not on Saturday. Not recording on Saturday. It's Friday. I might be doing some things tomorrow. Plus, I'm working tomorrow. A full 8-hour shift, so it's going to be screwy. It's going to be screwy. I normally record on Saturdays, but yeah, I'm trying to knock it out now. And maybe I'll just pause midway through as I get tired and then be like, I'll pick this up tomorrow. Probably not. I think I can muscle through. We'll see what happens. I went to Mexican after work and a couple of co-workers. We went out and I got some fish tacos. Love me some fish tacos. Ernesto's. Had fish tacos. The Ernesto's dip is pretty solid too. It's got queso, hamburger, and pico de gallo. Worth it. Worth it. It's actually $5 for that. Man, I ate all that, a good chunk of that dip with a fuck ton of chips. And I had, for the first time ever, a watermelon-flavored margarita. I'm pretty certain, though, you know, I've been drinking for well over two decades now. So there's a strong chance if I had a watermelon margarita at one point that I may have forgotten. Good, strong possibility. I don't think I have had one, though. I've had plenty of margaritas. I've had, like, peach-flavored, strawberry-flavored. I don't think I had watermelon. It was pretty tasty. Pretty tasty. I would recommend it. I mean, I generally just go with the old-fashioned margarita. It's, you know, kind of the go-to. I mean, anytime I go to a Mexican restaurant, I mean, it seems that it's sacrilegious for me to not have a margarita while enjoying some Mexican cuisine. It's, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, which, you know, they did some pretty heinous things back in the day. I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. Like, I mean, I guess Caligula's not around. Not saying that the Romans of current day Rome are that crazy. I mean, the Pope lives there. I don't want to do anything that the Pope does. I don't think he's doing, like, Caligula or Nero type stuff, you know. Slightly different Rome. Hopefully they've progressed a little bit since then. But yeah, I'm a little tired, you know. I've worked a lot of overtime already this week, and it's been hot as fuck. And it would appear that we're not going to see any cooler temps for some time. And I know tomorrow is going to be another hot one. It's got a high of 94 degrees. That's Fahrenheit. I don't know what the Celsius is. But a high of 94, which is 2 degrees warmer than today. And fucking shit. You know, Monday, it just may hit triple digits. They're calling for 98, but that could easily swing either way. You know, that could be hotter or colder. Colder is probably not the correct term, since cold, you know, I just mean, but it could be cooler by a couple of degrees. They could be off in that direction. It's usually, you know, not exact when you're a couple of days out. So it could be like 98, or it could be, you know, like 94 or 104. I mean, there's some margin of error in there when you're looking at weather forecasts, that is. And I guess important bit of news. I managed to make it a week now without buying another Gibson. A full week, as of course I did just get the Tony Iommi SG Special, the Gibson version, last week. And had it for a full week now. And I forgot to mention last show, when I was talking about Shelly, the old brother, the B-Row, had helped get me involved in Sabbath. I'm pretty sure he had steered me in that direction at one point. I don't think I mentioned, though, that he went to Ozfest, I believe, several times. And one of those times, Black Sabbath was reunited with Ozzy during one of those outings for Ozfest. And Shelly picked me up a Black Sabbath shirt of them in the middle of the Last Supper with Jesus. Jesus, you know, whatever, that fella. It fell in from the Bible there. And I loved that shirt because at that point in time, I was big into the Sabbath. Loved the Black Sabbath, that is. And especially Tony Iommi. And of course, Ozzy. I mean, I loved that early Sabbath. I still need to go like a deep dive into Sabbath post and Ozzy, as I'm just not that familiar with that stuff. I feel like that could I love Iommi, Bill Ward, Terry Geezer, Butler, and hearing those guys play is pretty fantastic, but I haven't given it a time of the day, the stuff other than the stuff with Ozzy. I have not given any. They've had a lot of lead singers. Anyway, the point I was getting at, though, I digress. Shelly goes to Ozfest and picks me up this shirt. And I loved the shirt because I was a big fan of Black Sabbath, regardless of the time period. But so I would wear that shirt, and I would wear it at least like once a weekend. I would actually wash the shirt, but before I wore it, it was like if you saw me during the weekend on like the one night I'm going out, I was wearing the Black Sabbath shirt. It was kind of like, you know, seeing like Beavis and Butthead. They're always wearing like Megadeth, Metallica shirts or what have you, AC/DC. I'm not sure. They have band shirts on. But I was like kind of like that. I had Black Sabbath. And I was all about me some Black Sabbath. And guy used to hang around with Joe Candlebinder. He, every time he would see me, it seems I was wearing that Black Sabbath shirt. And it got to the point where like he would just call me like Black Sabbath. And if I like wasn't wearing the shirt, he's like, where the fuck's the Black Sabbath shirt? Did you get rid of that? What happened to that? Are you selling out? What's going on here? He thought it was just really funny that I would always wear that fucking shirt. I still have that shirt. And I got it out right before I bought the guitar. And I was like, son of a bitch. I had to put it in on the case once I opened it. Just like lay that shirt on top of the guitar. Almost for luck. Or what? I'm not sure. Maybe it would help keep it in tune. I'm not sure what my ideology was there. Mainly just to show Jimmy Cro-Magnon because he's a fan of the Sabbath, and the first song he learned on guitar all the way through was Electric Funeral by Black Sabbath. And which I've been working on since that. I figured I'd it's not that I'm trying to gloat. You know, I'm just like, I'd like to see him like get back into playing guitar. He hasn't played in many years. And just, I know he was super excited when I told him I was buying that guitar. And there is a cheaper Epiphone version that he could possibly afford or what have you. And I thought that would be really cool. You know, if he could pick that up or something. But I'm addicted to the Gibson, so it was hard for me to go, like, yeah, I'm going to just buy this fucking Epiphone. So, yeah, I have the Nitro, you know, that Nitro finish. There's something about that, having the Nitro cellulose finish and, of course, having the Gibson USA pickups in there, which I believe some of the Epiphone, and I'm not talking about the Epiphone that are made in America. There's only a couple of models of guitars that are made in America. America. In the like Gibson factories. And the rest of them, of course, are made overseas. Don't know. What I was going to say is that some of the newer ones, the inspired by Gibson line, and the more pricey Epiphones, are still made overseas, yet they've been wired here and made sure that, the guitars work, from what I understand. But, you know, I might end up having to take a couple of breaks in this one, as I am getting pretty damn tired. I don't know that I'll wait till tomorrow to finish this thing, but there might have to be a nap. So I think I will take a slight break, even though I'm only like 12 minutes into this thing. I'll take a slight break, try to get some energy back in it. And I know I have things to talk about. I I don't have any caffeine in my system at the moment, so I don't know why I keep dragging it out and saying this. I could just pause it, and no one would ever be the wiser. I just figured after I get done with the nap or whatever I do to increase my energy level, it's a good chance I'm going to forget exactly what I was talking about beforehand. So yeah, I'm just going to pause it now. And I'm back. It may have just been a split second, but in all actuality, all reality, it's been well over an hour. Probably close to 2 hours. I guess it's been 2 hours. It's been 2 hours of a pause. I ended up sleeping for close to an hour, and then I proceeded to clean out the cat's litter box. That is Agent Fox Mulder's litter box. And yeah, that brushed him and gave him some treats to let him know, yeah, it's good. It's good to let me brush you. And yeah, now I'm back. Trying to remember what I talked about. Yeah, not great. Although I only went like 12 minutes. I didn't go very long. So no, not much endurance earlier. I believe I was talking about having the Black Sabbath shirt, the Last Supper shirt, and how I was known for wearing that shirt all the time, very much like Beavis and Butthead. Anyway. I don't remember exactly what I was going to go into next. All I know is I was really fucking tired at that point. And working in the heat, man, takes it out of you. Takes it out of you. But, you know, they do give us, like, water, as much water as we can possibly drink and more. at work, they give us like popsicles, which actually the other day at Schnucks, I bought some popsicles. I had gotten some Starburst and Skittles popsicles for here at the penthouse. They're not bad. They're not bad. They're pretty damn good. Pretty damn good as far as like popsicles are concerned. I mean, it's still a popsicle. It's not the most amazing thing in the world, but for a popsicle, they're pretty fucking damn good. Pretty damn good. Some of the Skittles ones, not so great. But I would say the Starburst, if you're going to pick them up, man, if you see the Starburst popsicles, you need some popsicles. Have you been sweating out in the sun, that blistering heat? They're not a sponsor, but I would say go with those damn Starburst popsicles. You don't get the waxiness that you get from a Starburst, but they taste a lot like a fucking Starburst, minus the wax. Minus the wax. Yeah, I think I mentioned going to and getting that margarita earlier as well. And I was just thinking about that food. Thinking about the popsicles now, thinking about Ernesto's and their Ernesto's dip with the queso hamburger and pico de gallo. Fuck yeah. It's just the taste of that. I do love that Ernesto's dip. I can't believe it took me this long to put that dip in my mouth. Put Ernesto's dip in my mouth. I almost spilled my margarita earlier, too. I mean, I got a little bit of a buzz. I had the jumbo margarita. But I had gotten the base of the margarita glass, like, stuck on the plate. Then I went to go pull it up. I just totally pulled that fucker up like sideways. And I mean, it looked like I was like, oh, I'm going to spill it. And everybody at the table thought, oh, he's going to fucking spill that margarita. And somehow I did not spill the margarita. even the waitress was walking by too. She thought that like, oh, this drunk bastard of a part, like a half a margarita. Although to her credit, I mean, she didn't know what I did before going to the restaurant. It's fully possible that I could have pre-gamed before going in there. She was like, oh, fuck, here's another drunk bastard I got to deal with. Anyway. Yeah, I didn't spill the margarita. Didn't spill the margarita. And I guess I could talk a little bit more about the guitar, though. I feel like, you know, I spoke a lot about it last week. But now I've had it for a full week, and I gotta say, I haven't regretted getting it. It is a fantastic, fantastic thing. It's fun to play. I haven't been playing the Adam Jones Les Paul a whole lot. I've still been keeping it in the mix. But right now, the Iommi SG, it's just kind of my main girl right now. definitely enjoy it. Still don't feel like I need to take it in for a setup. It's pretty fantastic. That is, like, out of the box, like, best ever had a guitar. And I don't have any plans to buy another one. At least a Gibson at the moment. As, you know, trying to be a little more responsible with money. Although, again, like I had mentioned before, man, I might just end up trading in the one Epiphone for the Dave Grohl Epiphone. And that's going to probably happen at some point. It looks like they're getting more stock in on these guitars. I've been kind of monitoring it. And I'm kind of still just waiting for it to show up at Guitar Center so that way I could just take that Epiphone Sheridan in and be like, hey, let's make a deal, shall we? That Pelham Blue's looking awfully nice. But I haven't been playing as much Foo Fighters now that I'm, like, in a Black Sabbath phase. So, like, I imagine, you know, if I'm going to get that Dave Grohl guitar, I better practice up on some Foo Fighter songs before I go in and play at a fucking Guitar Center, you know. I've always felt weird playing guitar stores. I want to turn the amp up very loud and just annoy the people that work there, you know, with my atrocious playing. You know, sometimes I can sound decent, but I want to practice before going in there. I realize these people hear people just butchering songs all the time, so I probably shouldn't be too concerned, but always felt a little weird in there. Because I know that, you know, there's probably people there all the time, especially the people that work there, that are really good. And, I just don't really play in front of people much. But I'm playing pretty decent these days, so I don't feel as bad doing it. Not in a band or anything, but it's definitely this is actually fairly decent. Anyway, yeah, that's enough talk about guitars. I think I've done plenty of that the last, at least several episodes. I don't know, last week it was like primarily what I talked about. But, you know, when you get a new Gibson, it's just kind of all you think about. You just want to touch it, stroke its neck up and down. Oh, put your fingers all over that fretboard. My brain still clearly not functioning correctly, but I think the nap helped slightly. I did about choke on a popsicle after getting up from the nap. I took a popsicle and it went down the wrong pipe. It went down the old esophagus. Part of it, not all of it. Basically waterboarding myself with a popsicle. I think that's why my voice sounds so good right now. Very, almost like being sick, like when I get like that nice little growl to it. So maybe that should be like my vocal warm-up before doing a podcast all the time. I'll just take a popsicle and purposely suck it down into the lungs, you know? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Get that little cutting sound of my voice, that gravel-ishness. Just like, yeah, that's right. That's the Red Skittle popsicle down in my gullet. Down in, not really the gullet, down in my breathing tube. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's, I mean, it doesn't feel great. It's really annoying. It's still really annoying to me. I did this probably like 15, 20 minutes ago, and it's still bothering me. So I wouldn't really advise doing that, and, you know, maybe it wouldn't be the greatest thing for me to do, you know, before doing a podcast. I might sound great initially. It might hurt the endurance of the voice. I guess we'll see how this goes. I have been watching a few different shows. I got into the Acolyte. I may have brought it up on an episode or two recently. I wasn't really feeling it. However, this last episode, now that we see the big bad of the show, well, a glimpse. You just barely get a glimpse at the big bad. And not really sure who it is. That seemed promising. You know, from what I understand, I believe I remember reading somewhere that they were saying that there will be no one in the series from the broader, like, Star Wars universe that we're seeing. I guess the cinematic one, at least. So there's no, you know, there's no Anakin or, you know, C-3PO, none of that shit. I'm not exactly sure what time period the Acolyte is in exactly, but I guess it's the High Republic era or whatever. The Jedi's, you know, still Oh, and I just coughed up some more shit. Oh, it's like, I think some saliva also went down the pipe. Oh, this is just a recording of me waterboarding myself, I think is what this is just turning into. Unintentionally waterboarding myself. It's torture. It is torture. Anyway. Yeah, and it was kind of cool to see Chewbacca, or not Chewbacca, sorry, a Wookiee Jedi. They're not all called Chewbacca. That's an individual Wookiee. Anywho, it was kind of cool to see a Wookiee Jedi, but wasn't really too crazy about feel the show. I'm still not exactly sure what they're doing with it, per se. Not sure where they're going with this. I mean, you got the twins that have been split apart. Not at birth. Not like Luke and Leia. But we're, you know, I don't know, preteens, we'll say. They didn't look like teenagers in the show. I'm guessing it was before they hit that mark. Anyway, they, of course, were on Dathomir and raised by the, you know, witches there. And about to become witches when shit just goes all nuts, which it seemed at first to me that they were going to make it to where the Jedi did a bunch of bad shit to these kids and the witches there on Dathomir. And which still could be the case. It seemed like the way the episode before last ended, that was kind of what they were doing there. And the Jedis felt bad about it, which seemed kind of a cool thing to do with it. I don't know. I felt it was kind of cheesy, the Jedi that's just like floating in midair and like all zenned out and stuff. The beard on him looked very fake. Like that thing that I think that's what probably drove me a little bit more crazy. Not that he was just like in a monk like state of, you know, I don't know what a term I'm really looking for, but he wouldn't, you know, talk and even open his eyes. But that part was kind of cheesy to me. Kind of cheesy. But again, seeing the big bad at the end of this last episode, that looks promising. And how, I mean, it appears that it's a Sith of some sort. And the Sith had no problem taking on multiple Jedi. I'm sure there's all kinds of internet theories about who this Sith might be. I thought it'd be cool if they had some kind of tie-in with Darth Maul, seeing that the two sisters are from Dathomir. And, of course, that's where one Darth Maul originated. But I think this happens way before. Let's see here. The time period. Let's see exactly the High Republic era. It's, okay, yeah, so I don't think this has anything to do with, there's going to probably be no real tie-in to Maul, because it is set at the end of the Star Wars franchise High Republic era, which is approximately 100 years before Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. So that seems unlikely there would be any kind of tie-in. But I guess, you know, some that we could see some family member of one Darth Maul. I would imagine that I mean, there's clearly some, this seems weird, the top search on Google is from Forbes talking about who the Sith could be,
at the end of Acolyte. Odd Forbes. I don't know why Forbes would be the go-to there. But they got an article on it, the Acolyte episode for review. Who was the mysterious Sith? I don't want to see a whole review on it. Just tell me who the fucking Sith is, man. Da-da-da-da. Who is the Sith? Here we go. That article. Fuck you and your notifications, Forbes. Getting to theory territory. And I'm aware the timeline may not work out perfectly here, nor am I an expert on all things Sith. This is according to the writer, whoever that may be, it's Forbes. Let's venture again. Eric Kane. It says, I write about TV shows, movies, video games, entertainment, and culture. That's, again, I did not realize Forbes had articles on such things. I just think Forbes and think like, ooh, who has a lot of money? But I guess that's a small list. You're going to need to fill those pages with some more things. So here we go. Eric Kane, that doesn't really sound... That sounds like more if they're going to be into some pop culture type stuff, that'd be more like comics. That's a comic book type name. But, you know, it's probably more of the thing. I don't know. I mean, this fella, I'm sure it's probably has enjoyed some Star Wars in his day. But I see him being... I mean, I guess the name Kane is kind of like Bane. Or like Batman and such. Anyway. or like Luke Cage. Or, you know, there's... Well, when I hear Kane, though, I think RoboCop 2. That's probably more the thing that pops in my head. Anyway. He goes on to say in this article here, Khmer, I believe, is an apprentice to the Dark Lord of the Sith, whoever that may be at the time of the show. Obviously, I mean, it seems that it's a Sith. Well, it seems that it would have to be a Sith Lord. That's how easily this individual dispatched the Jedi that were around. That could be Darth Tenebrous or his predecessor, though the timeline is a bit murky with regard to the Sith during the High Republic. I wanted to say Khmer is Darth Venomous, a mysterious apprentice who Tenebrous trained alongside Darth Plagueis. That takes us to... I mean, Plagueis was around for a while. He was the master of one Emperor Palpatine, which apparently Palpatine murdered around the time of Phantom Menace. Anyway, let's see here. Darth Plagueis, the master of Darth Sidious, a.k.a. Palpatine. But I think we're too far in the past for that. Okay, I was wondering, like, I know that Plagueis had lived for some time, though. I wasn't sure if it was quite that long, but anyway. Then again, the show could juggle timelines a bit. I don't think they're set in stone, at least as far as canon is concerned. Either way, my guess right now is that Khmer is a Sith apprentice and that there is another, more powerful Dark Lord lurking in the shadows. Perhaps Osha and May's Force-powerful mother, Anisea, perhaps Darth Tenebrous, who could have been using the witches to create more potential acolytes to widen his selection pool. We know Tenebrous wasn't above breaking Darth Bane's restrictive rule of two. This was certainly a better episode than last week's through the series, and I would agree with his assessment there. The series continues to suffer from wooden dialogue and odd pacing. I'm also having a hard time liking most of the characters. I would agree with that, which I suspect is a symptom of the mediocre writing. But yeah, there's... That was... The Sith Lord had me like, ooh, maybe... Yeah, I definitely didn't care. I have yet to care for any single one of the characters. That is definitely... I'm on board with that. I could give a shit less about any of the characters. That mask... The mask does kind of give me some Slipknot vibes. The Sith Lord or whoever that is in the mask. It is how a Sith acolyte proves their worth. Yeah, I'm not seeing. Yeah, I'm trying to read another article. Vaguely trying to, but I'm not seeing anything on it. But other than that, I mean, it's starting to show some promise again. Yeah, I'd agree on the dialogue being weak and just not giving a fuck about the characters. Not really giving a fuck. Not, but that last scene, man, they're going to turn around. Maybe they're going to turn around. Coming out of the gate, not hot. Not hot. Pretty weak. Some weak sauce. And, but, you know, I don't know if I can say that much about the dialogue. I mean, Star Wars dialogue is kind of known for not being great. Kind of not great. Most of the Star Wars films. Kind of one of their things. So I don't know if I can blame that so much. But there is just something about not giving a fuck about any of these characters. I don't know what it is. I've enjoyed most of the Star Wars shows. This one, meh. The Boba Fett one was a bit of a disappointment. That one was a bit of a disappointment. Like, the best ones were the ones with Mando in it. I thought, when Din Djarin first reappeared, that was pretty epic. And then again, I was disappointed with the season 3 of Mando. But I got to give, I can understand why it would be. I mean, this is the result of COVID lockdowns and the shit they had to deal with that. And it really hurt their production. And then you tie in also with the fucking strike fucking shit up. I'm hoping the movie turns that one around. Sticks the landing on that. Din Djarin is a great fucking character. He deserves better. Those first two seasons of Mando, fucking fantastic. Fucking fantastic. That being said, I want to say that my favorite Star Wars shows, I guess Mando is number one, even though that season 3, again, disappointing. Those first two, fucking fantastic. And you get that fucking, just for the episode where Luke comes back and saves Grogu. Fucking takes out all those fucking robots. Just dispatches them like nothing. And just that, like, this is the Luke that we always wanted to see. Where he was just a complete badass Jedi. That was fucking epic. And then, past that, I mean, I really like Andor. I'm excited, definitely, to see Andor Season 2. Which I'm going to just do a... Oh, sorry. Sorry, Fox. Stepping on the cat. Didn't bug him too bad, I guess. He's not... And say... I'm not really seeing a date. August of this year? Oh, but they moved it. Oh, is that the final season? They're only doing two seasons? But I guess they're already doing prequel of the main character that from a movie from, several years back. Diego Luna looks good, though, and, I'm sure they have a really good makeup team. So, I'm not really seeing. I can't really find explanation of when the next season will come out. It says it here on this. I don't know, bleedingcool.com. I don't know that I suggest. I can trust what they say about it. Bleeding Cool News. I don't know how legit they are, but they're saying that it is the final season on that. But the show's creator has said it is the most important work he's ever done, which I love the sound of that. Love the sound of that. That is Tony Gilroy saying that. I really did enjoy that first season. I don't know that I can't really say that that's necessarily my favorite. I think at Mando, just, you know, those first two seasons, I had to say that was my first go-to. I would say Andor's probably a number two. I enjoyed most of Obi-Wan. There was some, it did seem like there was some cheapness going on as far as production is concerned. That looked like they just didn't want to spend as much money on Obi-Wan, which is, watching that, I was like, man, they really just need to put out some more fucking movies. Give a real budget, and let's see some movies. Even though the last fucking Star Wars release was pretty disappointing, to say the least. Rise of Skywalker. Although, I mean, I love me some Emperor Palpatine, and just hearing that voice. Lord Rise, Lord Vader. I mean, it's classic shit. I feel like they really should have brought him back, or could have done, maybe done better at doing like cloning or something of Palpatine. Not crazy. Wasn't too crazy about the movie, and The Last Jedi really put a sour taste in my mouth. Anyway. I've also been, I've saw the first three episodes of season four of The Boys, and, nothing too exciting. There was some crudeness. There's some entertaining parts to it. I mean, it's still The Boys. It's The Boys. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Butcher. I still feel that Butcher's probably not going to die in 6 months, like he said at least the beginning of the season. I feel like they said it at the end of last season too. I'm guessing that he's going to get the full-on injection, not just the temp-V. He's going to get the real deal Holyfield shot and become a. Even though, I mean, you know, the boys, they're really the anti-soups sort of thing, even though I guess Starlight's with him now. But I feel like Butcher, although maybe he won't be taking it, it will be somebody else giving him the shot. Billy But, you know, I bet that's, I'm willing to bet that's, I mean, I felt that at the end want to put in Billy Butcher. They put in death. So, I mean, maybe he dies. That's my theory, though, is that he's going to get that. Although, however, it could possibly. Oh shit! I'm getting some spoilers now to stuff. Apparently, there's a worm underneath the skin. I maybe don't need to see that. I'm already ruining it for myself as I'm giving out this theory. Perhaps there's something that happened in this latest episode or what have you. I don't know if they put out just one more episode or if they have several. But they may have some more, you know, shine some more light on the Butcher. What's going to happen there? I really still think that Call of Duty, I mean, they put out a couple of bundles now from The Boys. And of The Boys, I mean, they put out pretty much, all the soups. I mean, they don't have Deep on there, but I mean, they had Black Noir, they had Homelander, they got Firecracker from this current season. A-Train is on there. I guess that's about it. Well, Starlight, what I was going to say is Starlight's like the only one like affiliated with the boys side. And I really thought, you know, Billy Butcher would seem like the perfect operator for Call of Duty. And I'm surprised that they have not put Billy Butcher in Call of Duty. Maybe the actor, his name? Let's pull up the fella's name. I'm older. Carl Urban. Yeah. Perhaps he doesn't want his shit in a Call of Duty, but I mean, he's in The Boys. It's a violent show. I don't know why he would choose not to do that. I feel like it's whoever's doing Call of Duty deciding who they want as operators. But I don't know. You know, it seems like they're probably going to continue putting out here and there The Boys. And they're, you know, holding back like Butcher is like the big get. It'd be cool to have the Deep. And then you could do like the sidekick kills. Like a lot of the character operators and stuff will have like a dog or something. For like a finishing move, you could have like one of the many of the Deep's lovers. That being like the octopus or the crab. Or not the crab, the lobster. My bad. Or the dolphin. there's some good stuff you could have with the Deep, man. You'd have to have like a couple different finishing moves there. The executions or whatever. Like, oh man, you gotta include like the dolphin and the octopus. Like, come on. Just have them. Maybe you could have like some kind of pack on his back where he's like holding the dolphin or something. That would be just fantastic. Fantastic. That would be. I mean, there's other characters they could have from The Boys. Of The Boys squad. I mean, I guess they could have Huey. I'm going to say it's not a great operator choice. Or Frenchie and stuff, but yeah. Kimiko would be good, I guess. Butcher. I mean, Butcher. You got to have Butcher. It would be funny to rock the Deep. Rocking the Deep. And the Deep. it's so funny how, like, in the very beginning of The Boys, he's shown to be a monster. Like, he's got, like, I guess they started making that around the beginning of, like, the Me Too movement. Or, I mean, it's just kind of, I mean, sexual assault's been around forever. So I don't know that really inspired it. But, you know, the Deep starts out by forcing Starlight to blow him. Of course. And then he's got quite the character arc because you're like, oh, this dude's a complete scumbag. And then you end up kind of feeling sorry for him when he like goes off to that whatever training they give him because it comes to light that he sexually assaulted Starlight. Once that comes to light and he's off in his own running his own deal there, and you find out about how he feels about his gills on his side, which are very freaky. They did a good job of making those like unpleasant to look at on the sides of his stomach. It is nice and freaky. And just how Homelander kind of abuses him. Well, kind of. I guess he more made him like eat his friends. He made him eat the sea creature friends. Forced him to do it. And then, of course, spoiler alert, in this latest season, he told him to blow a train, though he ended up not, like, not making him actually blow a train. But he almost blew a train. Almost did. He went over there and was getting ready to do it. Getting ready to do it. To blow one a train. Which was definitely, I mean, I feel like that was definitely inspired by P. Diddy. Though, again, I mean, it was more of a callback, I guess, to the beginning of the show where, of course, the Deep forces Starlight to blow him. But I'd venture to say that, you know, the meeting and everything, it was definitely... It gave me some Diddy vibes. Though I don't think they really needed Diddy to inspire that scene. I may be reading too much into it. It's just that was, you know, fairly recently in the news. And so that's kind of where my mind went. I'm looking forward to some more Boys, though. I need to check it out tonight. I was watching Oppenheimer, but you know what? I could really give a shit less. I love World War II stuff, and, you know, I've watched documentaries on Oppenheimer and stuff. But that movie's a bit long, and just... it definitely seems like it's more about his... Oppenheimer's affiliations with communists and such, and that going down that where, you know, I'm far more interested in the invention of the atomic bomb and the hydrogen bomb, which, I mean, it gets into that, but I mean, I guess they, you know, they need some drama somewhere, so you got to have all the talk about the commie stuff. And, you know, did he or did he not give information to the Soviets to where they could, too, also have the bomb? I mean, it definitely is possible. Somebody did. But is it the guy that really led, you know, the project there at Los Alamos? I don't know. But, when I think of the real Oppenheimer, I just think of the video of him where he's talking about the destroyer of worlds. And he just looks like it did weigh on him. There's so much stuff like on here when you look up Oppenheimer. There's so many things that which I'm wondering if they're really are true or not, but you know, there's, I mean, it never came out that, here's some stuff about how the Soviets really stole the nuclear secrets, which I would imagine nowadays it'd probably be a lot easier to find out exactly how they got the bomb. This is an article on belfercenter.org. I'm not familiar with that website. It's a Harvard Kennedy School Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs. Sounds legit. Anyway, Harvard's in the title. But, you know, anybody can make a fucking website and then throw that on there. Anyway, it's probably world-renowned. Been around forever. And I'm just an idiot. Anyway. Yeah, this came out around the time they put out the movie. Oh, yeah, there's not a whole lot in this article. says, how the Soviets stole nuclear secrets and targeted Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb. Oppenheimer, the epic new movie directed by Christopher Nolan, again, this article's a year old, takes audiences into the mind and moral decisions of J. Robert Oppenheimer, leader of the team of brilliant scientists in Los Alamos, New Mexico, who built the world's first atomic bomb. It's not a documentary, but it gets the big historical moments and subjects right. The issues that Nolan depicts are not relics of a distant past. The new world that Oppenheimer helped to create and the nuclear nightmare he feared still exists today. Russian President Vladimir Putin is threatening to use nuclear weapons. That's still relevant. He's still doing that in his war in Ukraine. Iran is doing everything it can to develop nuclear weapons. China is expanding its nuclear arsenal. Hostile governments like China are stealing U.S. defense technologies, including from Los Alamos. Charges that Oppenheimer was a Soviet spy and security risk, a major focus of the movie, have been disproved. In December of 22, the Biden administration posthumously voided the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission's 1954 decision to revoke Oppenheimer's security clearance. Well, a little late on that, Amy. He's dead for how long? Calling that process biased and unfair, declassified records reveal that Soviet spying on the U.S. atomic bomb effort advanced Moscow's bomb program, but Oppenheimer was no spy. Oppenheimer's perspective: Oppenheimer joined the Manhattan Project, a nationwide effort to build an atomic bomb before the Nazis developed one in 42, that is 1942. The scientists he led at the Los Alamos site were probably the most talented group of minds ever assembled in a single laboratory, including 12 eventual Nobel laureates. But, I have to read, to read the full article, there's more to that article. Yeah, apparently there was a different spy. It was not Oppenheimer, which is kind of what I thought. You know, I haven't seen anything on the real Oppenheimer in a while. Which, again, I didn't watch the whole movie. I don't know. It seems like they're kind of toying with it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Kind of vibes is what I was really gathering from the movie. Again, I didn't see how it ended. I feel like maybe, you know, they do exonerate him in the movie as well. But I am far more interested. I mean, it is terrible that what happened to a lot of people back in those days that were villainized by saying that they were commies and because they attended some meetings and what have you. That they were of, against the U.S., enemies of the state, and the Red Scare and all that stuff. And, they assassinated, assassinate is probably not the word. They executed the Rosenbaums? For treason. Julia, or what the fuck? God damn it. Couple. Julius Rosenberg and Ethel Rosenberg. That's right. Okay. That's right. That's who it was. For, conspiracy to commit espionage. And there's some I've watched stuff on that in the past. It's been quite some time. But it seemed like they didn't have a whole lot to really execute him over. I could be wrong, you know. That, if anything, I mean, it did sound like, you know, he gave some stuff to the Soviets, but nothing that would have. What was their last words? Let's see what their last. Oh, it's to their children. They wrote stuff to their children. That's their last. Yeah, and it just leaves me this website where I can't access anything. Anyway, yeah. I would definitely say it didn't seem like their sentence was fair, to say the least. If I remember correctly, it did seem he did pass some things on to the Soviets, but not things that necessarily would get you executed, or should have gotten you executed. And that his wife definitely shouldn't have been executed. But you know, what are you gonna do? Those were the times. Can't change the past. And I can't believe it. I've gotten through an hour now since taking that nap. That did help out. I probably shouldn't, in hindsight, now that I've made it this far. Putting that popsicle down the windpipe was not helpful. Not helpful. Maybe my voice sounded slightly better from that, but not worth it. It's still feeling a little fucked up. A little burny. The back of the throat. So I definitely wouldn't do that again. Again, I'm recording this today on Friday. That's the day I'm recording it. I'm not posting, of course. I post on Sundays. Normally record on Saturdays. But hopefully this will give me a chance. There's possibility of me doing a few different things tomorrow. Might go to my good friend John Cash. His birthday is tomorrow. And I believe they're going to the new pizza place here in town. I might stop in for that. And, well, I mean, there's, Jackman's, oldest son, Jules, birthday party / graduation, because he graduated college. They got a party for him going on, tomorrow. Don't think I'm going to make it to that, because I'm working till like 2:30. Imagine that's probably going on more during the day, probably into the night, but there is a possibility. I kind of talked about going to the casino tomorrow. Going to the casino. My boy Pee-wee. We shall see, though. We shall see. It's been a little bit since we went to the casino that first time, and I am putting marks all over this damn lottery ticket that I have here. I should probably stop doing that, because if it's a winner, that's going to seem like, are these all these pen marks on here? Now watch, that's going to be a winner, and that's going to be like, this seems suspect. Why is there all these dots on here? I didn't know. I thought it was a bad, it is possibly a winner. This is going to seem odd that I stabbed it with a pen several times. I don't think they'll void it for that. But, this is kind of what happens when I, you know, start talking. I have to find something for my hands to do. Should probably not do that, though. And that could be a winner. I didn't put it over the numbers. I didn't draw over the numbers. I just wasn't thinking. There was a piece of paper in front of me and a pen. I didn't mark over any of the numbers or the barcodes on it, so I think it would still be valid. Just saying. It should still be valid. Hopefully. I mean, it could potentially be worth $80 million. Well, roughly. I mean, if I take the lump sum, that's 40 mil. After taxes. From what I understand, it's 50%. So that piece of paper could be worth some value. Should maybe not destroy it with a pen. Most likely it's worth $0. But potentially could be $40 million. Definitely not taking the annual payments. It's a lump sum for me. Anyway. Probably not going to win, but that would be fucking funny. I don't know. I just wasn't thinking. I guess I was thinking it was like an old ticket, and I realized like, oh, wait, hey, that one's the drawing for today. Maybe don't destroy that ticket. That would be my luck, though, that I would destroy the winning ticket and just not realize I had it and just start fucking tearing it up, like having the cat play with it. Because a lot of times after a ticket's no good, I'll just crunch it up and like toss it for the cat to go destroy. You know, he loves the crinkling sound. And it'd be like, oh shit, I thought it was not a winning ticket. And then I realized, you know, it'd be funny to just have like holes from the cat like chewing on it. Be like, look, no, you don't get it. The cat, I thought it was old. But anyway, yeah, I guess I'm good here. That's really all I've got. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.